VentureCast. Latoya Dixon-Smith is a boudoir photographer, certified sex doula, and international speaker based in Greenville, South Carolina. She's been widely featured in HBO, The Huffington Post, Essence, the Greenville Business Magazine. In addition to activating women to find confidence and self-acceptance through empowering boudoir healing ceremonies and photos, Latoya enjoys speaking with women about accessing pleasure, power, and peace through the power of the erotic. But this was not always her story. To get here, she had to endure multiple layoffs. And after being laid off from her corporate mechanical engineering career, she started a journey to find freedom in her own self-exploration and pleasure and hold space for other women doing the same. This is her story, or at least part one, because it's so good, she's coming back for part two.
1, 2, 3, 4. You're listening to Permission to Live. I'm your host and certified life coach, Melissa Lyon West. Here on Permission to Live, we're going to share powerful stories of women who turned a midlife crisis into a badass life. We'll share the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes when you finally say yes to yourself and why it is always worth it.
So let's just dive in and tell us how you went from an engineer to a sex doula. And also, I'm going to need to know more about what that is.
Of course. So let's first start with what a sex doula is for those who are curious and who are wondering how to put those two words together, given the context as we think of a traditional birth doula as someone who's very involved in the process of helping to deliver babies and being with the family as they are acclimating to this new life with a child. So scratch your perception of that when you replace the word birth with sex. But a sex doula acts more so as a coach or a guide. In some contexts, it could be even considered a healer to help people connect or reconnect with their bodies. Typically, after time, could be trauma, could be just conditioning, which we all experience, where we just lose that connection, we lose that relationship or a positive one that we have with our body. So as a sex doula, I'm able to do that. And my journey from going from an engineer to a sex doula, it's been a windy, twisty one.
Yes, it always is, right? Like it's never point A to point B.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Which is funny because back when I was a mechanical engineer, I worked for a company in supply chain and manufacturing. It was a lot of logical, sort of analytical base, a lot of process improvement, things that just made logical sense. And I actually got laid off from that job and suddenly was faced with this crossroad of, okay, do I find another job in my career that I've known for the past 5 years? Because that's what I did right out of school. Or do I try something else? And I was building a photography business on the side, just photographing kids, families, weddings, basically just my side hustle. But then I was like, well, let's see like what this photography thing can do. I mean, I clearly didn't have any background in like running a full-time business. I've always been in the corporate world. So it was just where my curiosity led me. 4 months after that, my husband and I, we conceived our daughter, which is our second child, which was really interesting because we were trying for at least like a year and a half. So, and it wasn't until after I left that job that my body was just apparently ready. Yeah. to conceive a kid.
During that time, you weren't expecting to be laid off, obviously.
No.
What was that like? I mean, were you stable? Were you like kind of spinning out?
It was very chaotic because I was also the day that I got the text message from my manager that we needed to have a talk.
Oh, no.
Was also the day after I had back surgery. I had pulled a muscle in my lower back. And I went through all the alternatives, medicines, practices, therapies, and things. And so surgery was kind of my last resort. I woke up from that surgery. I remember being in the room and getting a text message from my manager. And he's like, hey, I need you to call me. I know you're in the hospital, but we need to talk. And I'm like, oh, goodness.
Damn, so that was kinda got fired while in a hospital bed. That is.
It was like the writing on the wall. So I knew it was coming, but they didn't tell me like right then and there. It was a few more months until it actually happened.
Okay.
So when I did go into that meeting, when they finally made the decision, I was at such an indescribable space of peace. I think because I was expecting it, I'd also been through a couple of layoffs before. So if anybody has any need for someone to talk to people about like how to handle a layoff, because I know that that's something a yeah. lot of people are experiencing these days. Yeah. I'm your girl because I've been through it a number of times and my body has reacted differently each time. I think that was after that one, I think it was like the most ideal way that I sort of took that news to where I was at peace, because the first couple of times it was, you know, excruciating migraines and just a lot of anxiety and fear and worry. But to say that I was stable during that time when I got laid off, there was a lot up in the air. My lifestyle had changed because of my injury. I used to work out like every day. I used to do CrossFit. Like that's actually how I hurt my back. But yeah, there was just so much uncertainty in my life at that time, but a lot of things that, you know, it didn't feel like my life, my world was coming down on me. It was mm-hmm. just like, oh, wow, like this is very different and uncomfortable, but not something that I can't figure out because that's my job. Like I figure out things. So anyway, that's when I decided to just go strictly into weddings until I found out that I was pregnant, which being on your feet for 8 to 12 hours for a wedding day, multiple days in a row, it's a lot on your body. And so I knew I wanted to make a shift that was also conducive to the type of lifestyle that I wanted to have with my family. Like weddings are usually scheduled on weekends, and that was when my family was home. So I was missing a lot of family time. So I decided to make the switch to boudoir photography. Also, after having my daughter, because there was a whole period after postpartum where I was really like learning to like reconnect with my own body, mm-hmm. right? It was hard. This is my second child. My body reacted differently than it did with my first child. I had a lot of expectations for myself that were just way high and pretty unrealistic. So it was an adjustment. But I do remember doing a photo shoot while I was pregnant that I just felt incredibly beautiful, strong, vibrant, radiant. And I was like, I need to get back to that. Like, even though my body's not the same as that, I need to get back to that feeling. And I also want to recreate this for other people and offer this experience to them, which is when I decided to fully commit to becoming a boudoir photographer.
So you were getting the photo shoot, like you were the one being photographed.
Yes.
And that's okay. And that's how you felt. And then you were like, the other women need to feel this way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then so when I got started, what I realized was that I created this incredible experience. Of course, the photos they loved. But what was an indicator that I needed to just kind of take it to another level was when they would finish the photo shoots and they'd be like, oh, man, now I got to go back to like real life. And I'm like, wait a minute. That was not the point. The point was not to just to have these photos delivered, but for you to really connect with that inner goddess, like that fire within.
Not just feel good in the moment, but to take that into their life.
Take that into your world.
And there was a disconnect.
Yes. And then so that's when I decided to become a sex doula to really integrate more of that sort of training into my photography experiences.
Okay. So this is juicy and I want to talk about it because, you know, I come from a fundamentalist Christian background. So body shame and sex shame, huge, huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like all the time. And you have to disconnect from your body to even survive in that sort of situation. And I know how much work it takes to get back to a healthy space. And I mean, I feel like I'm still like unpacking things that come up and that surprise me. So let's talk more about what this looks like when you work with your clients. Like, how do you help? And also, how are people coming into this? Like, I would feel like people who are struggling with their sexuality in a way that they feel disconnected might feel, is it hard for them to step into this vulnerable space?
100% of my clients are typically nervous when they step into the studio, but I say that is absolutely normal. That is completely normal because you know you're going to walk into a space that is going to feel vulnerable at some point. In most cases, they don't know me personally. And so why wouldn't you, you know, honor that part that says, I don't know, like, this is something I've never done before. Like, that's important to honor as well. We said, we don't want to bypass any of the things or the feelings that are there to serve and to protect us and to keep us on guard. So yeah, I absolutely encourage people to just to honor those nerves, which again, you walk into the space. The first thing is usually people are just like really, it's the nerves, the anxiousness, like they're really excited to like get into it. So we first have to like ground.
Yeah.
Because if we just dive right in, we're just doing things just to do them. And the whole reason that I connect so much to boudoir photography is because it mimics back, it mirrors back like the ease, the slowness, the stillness that a lot of women, they just want that. Like they do want to come into a space where they don't have to be on. So if you can come in, you can relax as much as possible as your body will allow you. But then you also see that this place is safe. There are people here who are welcoming me. They're not judging me. They're not, you know, there to take me apart. And they're really just empowering me through their words, through their care, through their touch. Then that's when your body starts to relax because you not only have like this cognitive awareness that, okay, this is safe. Like logically, this is safe. You've done your research. You've seen the post, like, you know that it's safe, but you have to feel it. Mm-hmm. So then when we get to that point, that's when they'll sit in the makeup chair to get hair and makeup done. And of course, that's for a lot of people, that is a really fun experience because just to get pampered, I know that physical touch is like one of my love languages. So I love like having the touch of like the makeup artist brushes and, you know, even as she's prepping my skin, that just feels good to me. That feels good. And again, you don't have to do it. It's all taken care of for you.
Which is the dream, right?
Like, yeah.
For most women, we constantly put ourselves out way too much and we're like constantly serving everybody around us. So yeah, I'm just listening to you. I'm like, okay, I don't have to do anything. Everyone's going to take care of me. I don't have to do my own makeup.
Care of you. No.
Yeah.
And letting that be okay. Because once hair and makeup is finished and we do a few more grounding exercises and stretches, because that's important, people don't realize like how much of a workout doing a photo shoot is, not only for the photographer, but for you as the client. So we definitely get those stretches in because I don't want anyone to be surprised like when their neck turns a certain way, like, oh, wait, I haven't moved my body like that in a while. But again, that's part of the experience. Like you're doing a lot of things that you've never done before or you don't do very often. So everything is about easing our way in. It's also about consent. Even before I reach over to show you how to pose or to adjust your garments, like everything is about safety, consent, trust, and intimacy in that space. And so even though it seems like very like small details that, oh yeah, that should be like the norm, it's not. And I found that it's not, you know, when clients tell me about other photo shoots that they've had and their experiences there. But I think when you are intentional about that type of experience, not knowing all the things that a client may bring in from their past, from the background about how do they like to be touched? Maybe they don't. Or, you know, what's their experience like with talking about sex out loud? Like, are they going to blush? Or are they going to just like, oh my gosh, yes, I finally can talk to this about someone and people aren't telling me to hush because we don't talk about those things.
I feel like we all want to talk about sex, but until there's a space where someone's like, okay, this is like a safe space where we talk about this and we don't feel like we don't shame. I remember the first time I stepped into a space like that, I was like, oh, we can talk about this out loud. Yeah, it's nice to have that safe space to do that.
Yeah. And again, not everyone is there yet. And so I meet everyone where they are. And we talk about some of the reasons, like what motivated them to show up in the first place, which is really my intention, is to make sure that what they came there for is either something that I can offer or I can at least like put them on to other resources that may be more of a help or support where I'm not able to help. But for the most part, it's just the fact that they showed up and they allowed themselves to have fun that makes the experience like worth it every single time.
Do you act as a sex doula for people who don't do the boudoir photography or only in tandem?
Currently just in tandem. Okay. I have done some coaching separately with clients one-on-one, but I prefer to bundle that experience in the sessions. And then I've also launched a new retreat series. So I'm able to do more of the, have more of those conversations in a group setting, which I love. I love, love, love to, I love women's circles because it's just the idea that everyone's experience is so different and vast, but we can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And even though like I may facilitate a conversation, I am not like the know-all, and I certainly don't know everyone's life and what their experiences are. But I do know how to hold space for that and hold space for a group who wants to explore certain things that maybe they haven't been able to within either their current friend group or with their partner or whatever the case is. So I'm really looking forward to those retreats being a really immersive experience because sometimes with just the talks that we have at the sessions, it's just a limited amount of time that we have to really like go as deep as we can go because we also have other things to do.
That sounds, that retreat sounds amazing. So when you're working with them one-on-one after the session. And I love that, how it like builds on, like first you show up and you feel this like empowered goddess, like divine feminine, right? And then they work with you one-on-one. What are you seeing? Because you, at least for me in my coaching, I see very common denominators among people. Everyone's story is different, but we kind of all have these same feelings that we're dealing with. So I'm wondering what that looks like for you.
I would say the most common theme that I see among my clients are just women who are trying to keep it all together. And it, and yeah.
I laugh like, because I'm like, okay, guilty, guilty.
And how does that relate to sex though? It just puts pleasure on the back burner. When you are trying to be so responsible and take care of everything and everyone and keep all the balls like in the air without dropping anyone, that leaves so little room for pleasure. And so I feel, because this used to be me as well, I feel that even just talking about my own experience from where I used to be, being so driven by the American dream and making sure that, you know, I climbed that corporate ladder, that I got the husband, the kids, the house, like all those things, just working, working, working. Like I realized not too late. I think I realized it in the timing that I needed to, that I'm not a machine. I'm not here to just toil and struggle and just work until somebody tells me that at 65 that I should think about retirement. Like that might have been someone else's dream and the timeline that worked for them whenever that worked for them.
I feel like that's very much the masculine energy, which we all have, right? Like we need that drive to get things done, but we're just asked and then we believe the story that we have to stay in that energy. And so we're constantly like pushing and going. And then when we're told to rest or relax or allow pleasure, we're like, that can't be right.
Or you don't even know what to do. So if someone tells you like, okay, just take 2 weeks off to do whatever you want to do, what's the first thing you're going to do? And you're like, I have no idea. Like, okay, maybe I'll take a nap. Maybe I'll, you know, do the laundry that's been sitting. Like, you don't know what to do with yourself. You don't know how to relax. We don't know how to relax.
That's so true. Because like the first thing I do with my clients is say, what in your life isn't serving you? And then what do you actually want? Mm-hmm. Most often there's just this blank look and it takes us time to like actually have them figure out what they want. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that directly ties in with the pleasure and the sexual pleasure. Yeah. That makes so much sense.
So I have a framework called Bliss. It's an acronym that I walk them through throughout the discussions, throughout, sometimes even during the session itself. And certainly it's the basis of a retreat. So Bliss stands for body image, love via pleasure and play, intimacy, sensuality, and sexuality. Because I feel as if the pleasure is so very layered and it looks different for everyone. And sometimes it's just a matter of like building on to what your body is currently used to and starting there. So I never want people to feel like they're broken, that there's something wrong with them if they don't enjoy certain things or because they haven't allowed themselves to experience certain things. And like you said, sometimes it's just a matter of knowing what to let go of, like what no longer serves you. Like what were you taught about sex? What were you taught about pleasure? What were you taught about who you are and how you interact with the world, like how you love, who you love, and what types of relationships are you allowing yourself to experience, whether it's romantic, platonic, or whatever. And so using that framework, it helps to show clients like where they can explore more, because a lot of the times it's just, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes boudoir photography is like that first step. It's like, I want to try something new, but then I realized through this experience, I really want to do this other thing, which I really love because it just helps me to be more creative in what I do and just in helping other women to just be more creative and find ways that they can explore more about themselves. And I think that's the most beautiful thing, because it's like they've known these things about themselves all along. But again, we quiet it. We don't, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to make sense of that with my current reality. So I'm just going to like put that on the back burner.
Yeah. And for me, I felt like it was so many stories that I had been told and that I had taken on as my own story, right?
Yeah.
That I was like, I think I like this, or I want to try this, or I don't know. So for me, it was a lot of unlearning before I could even allow myself to relax into the sensuality and the sexuality and be like, okay, now I want to try this. But yeah, I can see how it'd be like, now what do I do? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the next steps are. So I just loved, as you were reading through the acronym, I was like, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you need a guide sometimes because you don't know.
Yeah. And I think that when you give yourself sort of a place to start, like a launching pad, again, you don't feel like you're going so far into like new territory that where it feels unsafe, but also you give yourself the freedom to really surprise yourself.
I love the idea of building instead of like, okay, we're just launching out into this thing that feels really far away. It's just like, no, we can take it one step at a time. That's fine. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so you went through this layoff, you dove into this new career, or you built on something you had as like a side hustle and turned it into your whole career. What would you say, what tips would you give to our listeners who might be going through the same thing, right? They're like, they have the opportunity to start something new. They're right in the middle of it. What helped you?
So I definitely say that what helped me may not always help everyone, but as long as you are in a space where you feel like you can trust even the leaps, like if you can trust yourself just to make like one step forward, go for that. So for me, I'm someone who is very much like a experimenter. Trial and error is my favorite place to play, my favorite space to play in. So for me, it was, again, doing something very similar to what I'm already familiar with. So I knew that as a photographer, I really loved getting to know people on a more intimate level. So that's when I tried boudoir photography. I really saw that it was much more than what was being worn in a session versus like what sort of connection can be made so that I can show the most authentic version of you and you really see yourself in that. So again, it's less of a win for me when you can't see yourself in it over and over and over, or be able to go back to that moment and like, you know what, that was me. And I felt amazing in this versus you just see yourself with all these adornments on your body and on your face. And, you know, you just did a thing. So again, it's just finding your starting point of what you already love or what you're curious about. And how can you just take even just a baby step forward to uncovering that a little bit more? Do you talk to someone? Do you read a book? Do you go to a show? Do you take a class? Like, what feels good and what also will honor the fact that, you know, sometimes we just need to try new things. And a lot of us don't do enough new things or try something for the first time to really even know what that wonder feels like in our bodies.
I love the way you said you love to play in trial and error, taking away the shame that we feel when we're like, we're going to try this, but I'm afraid I'm going to fail or it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But when you change the wording around it, like, I'm going to play in this area. I'm going to see if I like it. I'm going to try it. And if I don't like it, then it's not for me. Rather than if I try it and it doesn't work and I don't like it, I'm a failure. But yeah. Changing that, I love that so much. Be curious and then just play in it. That energy is, then that picture is, it's beautiful. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And I think that I choose those words as carefully as I do, because I can often find myself when I'm in a space where I'm not clear about what direction I want to go in. A lot of the times it's because I'm thinking so far in the future and to such a specific outcome that I don't leave any room for any other results or outcomes, which is very limiting. And so if we can get out of a space of, okay, if I do this, then this means all these other things about me. Again, that's the shame coming back up, our conditioning coming back up. If we just leave our minds open to the infinite possibilities of what can happen, or even just say, you know what, I tried this thing again, and this is enough. This is all I need to know that I don't like this or that I do like this and I'm going to keep going. Like, let that be that. It doesn't have to mean that you're going to now suddenly become a burlesque dancer or something. Like, I don't know. But it doesn't have to mean the most extreme anything. It doesn't have to mean anything. It just means that I tried this thing and this was my experience.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so follow curiosity.
Yeah. And
what else did you do, or what else do you suggest for our listeners who might be going through something like this?
The permission not to know is another thing that just frees you up to explore even more. Permission not to know what the outcome is, permission not to know exactly what is going to help you to arrive at this feeling of whatever it is. So again, first you set that intention. I desire more fun. I desire more freedom. Okay. If you say that freedom can only look a certain way, then you're likely going to be disappointed if it doesn't come exactly the way that you envisioned it. But if you focus on that feeling and give yourself permission not to know all of the details about how it's going to unfold, it just makes it more of an adventure. I mean, we're now in this like Sagittarius season, which is all about fun and just like doing whatever the hell you want to do. And I know for some people that feels really scary to even just hear someone say that, like, what if you had permission to just do whatever you want to do? Some people just fear just saying that out loud, or the possibility of what could manifest from that. There's so much there that maybe we want to try and we don't know like where that will lead us. But again, just give permission not to know. Give yourself permission to explore, but again, not to know like every single detail, because that's how we try to control things, especially things outside of ourselves. And that is, playing in that space leaves very little room for pleasure, because there's so much beauty in the chaos of pleasure and exploration and play that if you try to control it so much, you really just take all the fun out of it.
Even hearing you say that just makes my shoulders kind of drop a little bit, like, oh, just ease into it, not have to know, not have to control, because that's what we try to do. We try to control our lives and we have such a tight grip that our whole body is tense. And when I heard you talking, I just thought, you don't have to know, but you can follow how your body feels, right? Like, yes. You're talking about the feelings, like, does this make me feel even just a little bit better? Okay, let me chase that feeling. Let me get curious about that.
Even when we talk about, that's the first S in bliss, the sensual piece. Sensuality is all about feeling. So if you are someone who feels like you're not very sensual at all, just go back to the basics. Like, how do we experience things through our five senses? What do you like to touch? What smells good to you? Like, what is visually appealing? Like, go through all of your senses and really, and I know some people feel like, well, that's kind of silly, but it's really fundamental. Like, it really is that fundamental. And sometimes you have to go back to those very basics to remember, because again, we sometimes just like bulldoze through so much of our way of being, of existing, that we need to go back to the basics.
Do you have your clients do this on their own or with a partner?
Typically on their own.
I was thinking as you were saying that, like, I feel like a lot of times if we're with a partner or with a long-term partner, we can lose ourselves in that relationship, even if it's a loving relationship. Yeah. I have found this with myself. Like, for the last few months, my partner and I have been, so we've been together for 15 years, and we are taking what we're calling a healing separation, where we're sleeping separately and we're having just a lot more separation, because I felt like I had started to lose myself in that relationship. I love him. It's a great relationship. And that doesn't matter. I had disconnected. And so I was like, that's what I find myself doing now. Like, what feels good to me before I even enter into anything with someone else? What feels good to me? And so I think that is so important to talk about. Like, you don't have to be with somebody else. You almost kind of need to be on your own to figure out what I love, what feels good to me, what I like to smell, what I like to touch, what I like to feel. On my own.
And even that process can be very layered as well, because I know for me, like when I started this journey, it was more so about like connection with myself, and it's evolved. Like right now, it's more about, right now that I have this awareness about myself and my relationship with my body, now I want to go out and share that with the people that I love. Right. And now it's more about looking for and being a part of a very loving community and being in communion with people who I love and care about. But for my clients, I first and foremost recommend like doing all of these exercises alone. Like even the clients who come and say, hey, I want to do these photos for my husband. It's our anniversary, or I'm getting married. And of course, you know, we honor the motivations that brought them in the studio. But then we also reiterate the fact that this is really about you. You know, you showed up today. You showed up for yourself. You did this very vulnerable thing. You had fun. And so, of course, when you share this with whomever you want to share it with, it's going to be a nice thing to celebrate together. But this right here, this was for you, and no one else can take that from you. And I really think it's beautiful when they finally made that switch, usually after the session is over. And they see that, man, like knew that this could be fun because I've seen the photos or I've heard other people who've done something like this, but actually experience and go through it myself. Some people will, you know, will end in tears, and it's just however their emotions flow, we honor that. But I really love when they can really acknowledge the fact that they did it. They did it.
I love the concept of doing the work for yourself. Like our sensuality and our pleasure and our sexuality, it's for us. Like it's for our pleasure. But society is like, no, it's actually for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you feel disconnected or if you don't have a sexual drive, you need to fix that for somebody else. It's often how, at least how I perceive that society talks to women. And so I love the concept that you're coming as like, no, this is for you. This is for you to feel empowered and you to feel the pleasure and you to feel home in your body.
Yes. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, we do have to be very careful about like how we address and how we use our words when it comes to that as well. But I think just the intentionality behind the experience and how it's laid out, like they feel it. Again, you know, sometimes like they'll come in and, you know, they'll have fun and it's something that they want to take back, which is, you know, we can't dictate like what people take with this experience, but if it supports them in feeling more comfortable inside of their body so that they can be more confident in, you know, their own sexual experiences outside of our studio, then that's also a win as well.
Yes, absolutely. I love this so much. I love your work, and I'm excited for the women to hear this, and not only your story of like, hey, you can follow curiosity and you don't have to know. You don't have to know, just take one step at a time. But also, if anybody is looking for, now that they know what a sex doula is, tell us more about how they can find you and how they can work with you.
Okay. You can go on my website, latoyadixonsmith.com, and it'll show you ways that you can connect with our boudoir studio if that's something that you're interested. And also, if you just want some one-on-one time with me to talk more about how you can get deeper into connecting with your body, reclaiming your sensual nature, just feeling alive in your body. For me, there's been like a personal mission of committing to my own personal liberation. And just by me modeling that for myself, I found that it's very helpful for the other people who are witnessing my own transformation. And as I go through that, so I'm very transparent and open that I am still very much a work in progress. And I think that, again, the giving myself permission not to know like where it's all leading up to is a part of the fun and the journey. But what I want to impart, like even on this podcast, is that I am just a person who is also still following and exploring her own curiosities. Like even the fact that I'm here on this podcast is one of those. You never know. Like there's so many beautiful things that come up when you're just so into your own space of like being self-aware and aligning to the things that really like nourish you and that make you feel alive and that bring you pleasure. And then opportunities will start to show up. And it's just kind of like a beautiful dance of putting the work in, but also just like letting things be and just existing as the best version of yourself that you can possibly be.
Well, first of all, I think the best coaches are the ones who are still curious. They're still exploring. They're still living in a way that's like, I don't know everything. I'm not sure I would ever hire a coach that said they knew everything.
Yeah. Red flag.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The other thing I love listening to you is that it sounds like you're very much aware that people come from different spaces.
Yes.
And that you hold space for and say, it's okay. However you are, you're not broken. And I'm not here to change you. I'm here to make you feel more fully at home. And I think that is something that I always look for in somebody that I am getting coaching from, is that you're not trying to fix me. You're not trying to tell me your way. You're just saying, here's a path to more fully know yourself and to more fully, and you know, embrace your own pleasure. And I love that. I love that.
Absolutely. And it would be so ridiculous to try to force people down a single path. I have clients who have ranged from 20 years old to 50 plus years old to single moms to women who've got like 9 kids to divorcees to, you know, widows to like, there's so many things that I've never even experienced in my life. And to say that, oh, I've got this perfect solution for you, and I've never done any of this, I've never experienced any of this, is wild. But what I do know is that following your bliss and exploring that curiosity, it never steers you wrong. Like, you, again, you may not always get to this ideal like utopia, but you're going to learn so much about yourself, and you're going to feel so much more comfortable within yourself that it doesn't matter where you go. Like, if you always got home with you, then you're good.
Oh, let's end on that, because that's powerful. If you always have home with you, because life is a journey, it's always up and down.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you feel solid within yourself, if you feel at home in yourself, then any situation you show up in, you're like, I've got this.
That's right. And that's what people are looking for when they say confidence. That's what it is.
Yep. Yep. I love that so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
I'll put all of the information in the show notes so that people can find all of your juicy, amazing offerings.
Thank you. Appreciate you so much.
That's all for now, but we'll be back next Wednesday with another powerful episode. In the meantime, it would mean the world to me if you would go now and leave a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. This will help other people find the podcast and the powerful stories we share. You're also welcome to head over to Instagram at Melissa Lyon West and send me a DM to let me know what you think about today's episode. I absolutely love connecting with listeners, and I hope to talk to you soon. Okay, I'll see you back here next week.
Miles, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric Acid.
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.